coming. Today's shir is going to be yesterday's parsha. Well known that Shlach speaks about the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the mitzvah of tzitzis in our times is something which generates a great deal of confusion as to what exactly the application is, as we'll soon see. So I chose to speak about that today, a very, very basic question in halacha pertaining to the obligation to wear tzitzis in our time. So we'll begin with the pasuk which tells us, we have it here on the sheet, the Torah says that the Klal Yisrael were commanded to make tzitzis, to make the fringes, the strings on the corners of the garments, with dorosam for all generations. And then the Torah proceeds to say, V'hayolcham the tzitzis, or isem also, you should see the tzitzis, you will see the tzitzis, U'zachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, when you see the tzitzis, you will remember all of the mitzvos of Hashem, V'asisem osam, and you will come to do them, you will do the mitzvos. And then the Torah, that's apparently goal number one of tzitzis, that a person should see them and remember the mitzvos of Hashem. How exactly seeing the tzitzis causes a person to remember the mitzvos, we'll see in a moment. But that's number one. And then the Torah says a second thing which is connected, Velosa Suru, Achare Lavakam, Achare Nechem, you will not stray after your heart or after your eyes, Asher Atem Zonim Acharehem, that the tendency of the person is to, those things lead a person astray. But if you have the tzitzis, you will be less likely to stray. How exactly do tzitzis do this? So there are many significances of tzitzis. Rashi here on the pasuk, "Ustartem es kol mitzvos Hashem," it's right underneath. Rashi says, "Sheminyan gematria shel tzitzis sheish meos." That if you could calculate the numeric value of tzitzis, so it is up to 600. What's that?
Not in the Torah.
Not in the Torah. Why not? Why is that? Just without a yud? Okay, correct. Dr. Brody? Correct. So we have the, if you look here in the sheet, right, on this very sheet, the word tzitzis appears without the second yud, right? It would only be 590, correct? However, the way it's commonly spelled is with the second yud. So Rashi tells us, this is a quote of a medrash, that therefore the it has the 600, and then it has shmona chutim, it has eight strings, right? There are the eight strings, ushmo the hamisha ksharim, and the five knots, tare tariyat. So when you add up the 600 plus the five knots and the eight strings, that's the grand total of 613. And therefore, when a person looks at tzitzis, he will be reminded of the 613 mitzvahs. Okay, that's assuming the person's mind is engaged focused on the tzitzis, he will come to this realization that tzitzis is 613, etc. Okay, we find that is one significance of tzitzis. We find in the Gemara in Menachos, unfortunately this quote is not on the sheet, but there is a Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that goes further into the mitzvah of tzitzis, and that is, the Gemara tells us here on Daf Mem Gimel, that Shkula, Urizim was supposed to, Uschaitim was Kalmitzvah Hashem, Shkula mitzvah zu keneged kol mitzvah kula. Okay, that the mitzvah of tzitzis, when the Torah says you will see this, and you will remember the mitzvah, so the Chazal took that to mean that the mitzvah of tzitzis itself has the ability to do this, and therefore it has the significance, it has the chashivas, the importance of all the mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us further, Urizim also Uschaitim, Ria may be alidei tzchira, tzchira may be alidei asiya. That if a person sees something, it will bring him to remember. Seeing his tzitzis will cause him to remember, and remembering will cause him to do. Okay? Then the Gemara says further, Kol azaris b'mitzvah zu zochel m'kabel p'nei shechina, that any person who is meticulous in this mitzvah will merit to see the p'nei shechina, whatever that means, that in the next world a person will be able to encounter the presence of the Shechina based on the fact that he has this mitzvah. We have also the Tcheles in the Tzitzis, where the Gemara says that also has deep meaning, that Tcheles is Dom Eliam, the Gemara says here, that this blue is similar to the color of the ocean, Biyam Dom or Akia, and the color of the ocean is similar to the color of the heavens. For Akia, Akise HaKavod, and the heaven reflects the color of the throne of God, Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk which we just read on Shavuos, V'tachas Rago K'maisa Livnas Hasafir Ke'etzem Hashemayim Latoah. So there is a great deal of significance in the mitzvah of tzitzis, the idea of having these strings. Even though it seems very bizarre, anyone who sees it would say, what in the world, you have a garment and you have strings hanging down from them. But nevertheless, there is apparently the Torah feels that this type of thing, because it's unusual, will cause a person to think and remember at all times that he is subject to the 613 mitzvahs in the service of God, and he will have all of the inspiration, and according to the Torah, that will prevent him from sin. This is what the Rashi and the Chazal expound upon the mitzvah of tzitzis. So now the question is, what then is the obligation to wear tzitzis? What is the obligation to wear tzitzis? Now we know that there are certain things that we are obligated to do on a daily basis. For example, we have the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, the Chazal derived, a person is obligated to put on tefillin every day. And not necessarily the whole day. You know, in the old times people wore tefillin, you know, for the entire day. You see that in the Gemara, you see that even later periods people had that practice. Today we don't do this anymore. It's a very difficult thing. There's a degree of responsibility. A person who wears tefillin to make sure that his thoughts are proper and that he acts properly and he speaks properly. So therefore today, we minimize the amount of time that we fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, and it's not really even encouraged for a person to put on tefillin more than that time. Now, we don't find today that there's really a midas chasidus by people to put on tefillin a whole day. Only the yechidim, they're individuals who, you know, feel that they could do it, but our minhag today is that we put on tefillin only when we daven shacharis. That's the minhag that was established, that's not directly referenced in the Torah. You know, we don't put on the tefillin by mincha, we don't wear tefillin at other times, because we've relegated the mitzvah of tefillin because of the great responsibility that comes with wearing tefillin, so we've limited it to a certain period of time. But nonetheless, everybody agrees that a person is obligated to put on tefillin every day. There's no question. There's no question. And if a person does not have a pair of tefillin, then they have to get one. Meaning either you can borrow someone's tefillin, or more practically go out and buy a pair of tefillin. But the fact is, tefillin is a mitzvah that a person is obligated to do every day. Now, when it comes to tzitzis, however, tzitzis is different. Because the mitzvah of tzitzis is clear in the psukim even, and certainly the interpretation of the Chazal, that the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies to a person who has a four-cornered garment. Okay, it says, Akante Bideyam, in the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch, it's interpreted to mean that there have to be four corners. A person has to be wearing some sort of garment that covers him, that has four corners, and then, and only then, do you need the tzitzis. If one was not wearing a four-cornered garment, you would not have the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's clear in the poskim, that the chiyuv of the obligation to wear the tzitzis would not be in such a situation. So it would seem, that's what the poskim tells us. That being the case, so the question comes up, well, in our times, we don't have garments that have four corners. We just don't. It could be in the old days. It seems that the style of dress was different. Perhaps people wore like tunics, which may have been open on the bottom, you know, and therefore there were four distinct corners. They didn't go down like a robe today that goes all the way down, but rather they wore some sort of tunic that flowed open at some point, and therefore people had four cornered garments in the midst of tzitzis. But we don't have this. So if we don't have it, so then one is l'chora, it would seem clearly that one has no obligation to put tzitzis on our shirt. It would be silly. In fact, if a person who did it, it would be a waste of time, because that's not the garment that the Torah said needs tzitzis. Now you could ask, you know, a philosophical question, why did the Torah do that? If tzitzis has such great significance, why didn't the Torah say put it on every single thing that you wear? Okay, that calls for an explanation. But nonetheless, this, you know, the truth is that the Gemara mentions, and it's brought in the poskim, that the idea of four corners is because four corners represent the four directions. So therefore, there's an idea of tzitzis that everywhere you turn, you're surrounded by mitzvahs, and really that's only achieved if you have something that has the four distinct corners. But nonetheless, the fact is that if we were today to take our shirts and put tzitzis on them and say a bracha, that would be a bracha of akolah, and you would not fulfill the mitzvah, because that's not the way the mitzvah calls for. Well, that's not what the mitzvah calls for. So what we have to understand is, so then in our times, here today in the year 2011, what is the obligation to wear tzitzit? Is there an obligation to wear tzitzit? And clearly, as understood by the Chazal, tzitzit is different than tefillin. Because tefillin is a chiyuv that a person has to do every day other than Shabbos and Yom. The person has to, a man has to put on tefillin. Whereas by tzitzit, by the mitzvah of tefillin, the Torah doesn't give specifics. The Torah just said, these are tefillin, put on the tefillin. But by tzitzis, the Torah is very specific. The Torah says, this is what it has to be. So therefore, why do we have to do such a thing? Do we have to do such a thing? So, this is what I would like to explore, right? You could, if you want to make an analogy in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis, one could say, we have other mitzvahs in the Torah, for example, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of shechita. Right, there's a mitzvah that if a person wants to eat meat, you can't just take the cow, the kosher animal, and kill it any way that you want, but rather it has to be ritually slaughtered, it has to be killed through shechita. So it's a mitzvah in the Torah. A person who does shechita on an animal is fulfilling the mitzvah in the Torah. Now, does that mitzvah in the Torah call for a person going ahead and buying an animal? In other words, the only time I have to do shechita is if I want to eat meat. Let's say I want to be a vegetarian. So a person could live their whole life that way and not have done anything wrong. Because what did I do wrong? I didn't eat meat. There's no obligation to eat meat except maybe on Yontif or Shabbos perhaps, right? But beyond that, there is no obligation. So if you have the opportunity to do it, you do it. But if not, not. And thus, similarly, let's say mezuzah. Let's say a person doesn't have a house. There's no obligation to try to go buy a house so that you can fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. And let's say you're living by somebody else, a relative takes you in. So you don't own anything, you're not renting anything, the person is giving you a free place to stay, and it's their house, and they have mezuzahs on the door already. So you don't have an obligation of mezuzah. So would we tell a person, you mechuyev to go buy a house so you can have a mezuzah? We don't say that, right? Because there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that it's situational. If you have this situation, then you do the mitzvah. And if not, not. And thus it would seem that by tzitzit should be the same thing. In other words, theoretically, if we had a four-corner garment, so then, wonderful, four-corner garment, then you have an obligation. The truth is, if a person had a four-corner garment and did not put tzitzit on it, that would be a violation of the Torah law. That would be a violation of the Torah law, because if you have a four-corner garment, you have to make sure you have tzitzit, which, by the way, is something to take into consideration, that a person really should check if you're putting on a talis, or you're putting on a talis cotton, or whatever it is, that it's certainly by a talis guttel, which is worn over the clothing and exposed to the elements. So a person really should check. The question is how often, but a person certainly should check to make sure that the tzitzis are kosher, because if you have a talis and the tzitzis aren't kosher, then you have a problem, because I got a four-corner garment and I don't have good tzitzis on them. That's something that a person needs. But what I'd like to discuss is, why do I have to do this in the first place? Why do I have to go get a four-corner garment? The Torah says, if you have a four-corner garment, put tzitzis. We don't have any four-corner garments. So why do we need to do this? This is the question that I would like to address. So we find here in the Gemara in the Menachos, this is on the sheet, the Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, a very, very remarkable incident, in a certain sense, a historical incident, or something of historical significance that took place that gave definition to the mitzvah of tzitzis as practiced in our time. And that is, we find as follows, a very, very remarkable Gemara. The Gemara tells us here, the Malacha Ashkechei L'Rav Katina, on the sheet, page 1, on the bottom. The Gemara says that Rav Katina, one of the rabbis in the Gemara, encountered a Malach, came across an angel. Right now, today, we don't have this experience too much, but most people. But I can only speak for myself. We don't generally come across such such a being. But nevertheless, they had, you know, in the old times, the people on the high Madrega, and Rav Katina was a very holy man, but even in more recent times, there are people that, you know, they said had some sort of filial Eliyahu that came in contact with you know, a being that was later deemed to be Eliyahu HaNavi, okay, whatever it is. But in the old times, in the Gemara, we find that this did happen on occasion. So a Malach came across Rav Katina, the Nechse Sadina. So the Gemara says that Rav Katina was wearing a certain garment. This was in the summertime, and he was wearing a sadin. It's not clear exactly what type of garment this was, but what's clear from the way Rashi explains it is that the garment that he was wearing did not have four corners. He was wearing some sort of cool summer garment that had, it was maybe like a robe or something like that, that it did not have four corners. And as such, he was not wearing tzitzit. So the Gemara tells us an amazing thing. The Gemara says, Amar Lei, Katina, Katina. The Malach said to him, the Malach gave Katina Musar. He gave him a lecture. He said, Katina, Katina, what are you doing? Sadina Bekaita, I watch the way you dress. You know, people think, you know, nobody watches how the rabbi dresses. You know, apparently this Malach, you know, was not looking to see what kind of tie he was wearing, but the Malach was watching his clothes, and he said, you know, I've been observing you, and I have a very big problem with the way you dress. You go in the summertime with this robe, which doesn't have tzitzit, and then the sarbel of the sisfa, and in the wintertime, I noticed that you also wear a different, heavier garment because of the colder weather, and it also doesn't have four corners. So he said to him, tzitzit shokheles matahelel. So what's wrong with you? What's going to be with tzitzit? Where's tzitzit? You don't have any tzitzit. I've observed you over the whole year. I'm looking at your wardrobe, and I see that tzitzit is not part of your dress. You wear in the summer these cool robes. You wear in the winter these heavier garments. None of them have four corners. None of them have tzitzit. What's going on with you? What's going to be with tzitzit? This is what he said. So, Katina, not being a faint-hearted person, you know, I personally, if the Malach would have said this to me, I probably would have just collapsed on the spot from fear. But Rav Katina held his ground, and Rav Katina said back to him, he said, Amar Lei, Anshisu Aseh? Rav Katina said to him, why should I? I mean, after all, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, it's a positive mitzvah, it's not a negative. It's a mitzvah Aseh, it's a positive mitzvah. And the positive mitzvah has its requirements. In other words, the mitzvah calls for certain things. You have to have four corners. I don't have four corner things. I'm not about these things that I'm wearing. What I'm wearing don't have four corners. So good. So I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah in the Torah. But we don't find that there is a punishment for a mitzvah saseh. In other words, we find in the Torah, for example, you have 613 mitzvahs. So the breakdown is there are 248 positive mitzvahs, 365 negative mitzvahs. For a violation of any of the 365 negative mitzvahs, there is a punishment, right? They're different, or for many of them at least, even in this world, right, Bezdin sometimes will give a person malchus, so they would give a person in a severe case of chiyuv misa, whatever it is. But when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, when it comes to positive mitzvah, we don't find that there are punishments in the Torah. We don't find, right? If a person doesn't, in other words, if you look in the Chumash, if a person doesn't shake a lulav, what happens? If a person would go ahead and eat pork, so the Torah says very clearly what would happen. If the person did it and he was warned by two witnesses, then he would be taken to Bezdin and he would be given malchus. He would be given the 39 lashes. Right, that's for violation of the negative. But for a positive mitzvah, we don't find such a thing. So Rav Katina was saying to him, so what do you want? So, okay, I'm not a, you know, what, how could you get after me for this? This is what he said. Now, at this point, you may be thinking to yourself, wait a second, but that's not sure. Do we believe that? Even if in this world a person gets off scot-free, but does that mean that in the next world a person who didn't shake a wool, but didn't put on tefillin, or didn't do these things, gets off? So we'll see in a minute what he meant by this. But this is what he said. He said, what are you bothering me? It's the mitzvah saseh. So on my way, so the Gemara says, right, that the Malach said to Rav Katina, I will share with you a secret. This is maybe the first case of Kabbalah that we find mentioned in the Gemara, that I will share with you a secret that I know from being in the right place. You know, I come from somewhere else, and I can tell you something that you guys don't know, but I'm going to put it out in the world right now. And that is the following. Bizman the Ikka Rizcha Anshina. That even though we don't find that in this world there is a punishment for the lack of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, say, we don't find that the person doesn't sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. So we don't find that Bezdin will punish him. There is no punishment mentioned in the Torah. Nevertheless, the Maal said that I know that there are certain times when God gets angry. There are certain times when God gets angry. And you should just know that at those times, when God gets angry, which is called in the Gemara, even Rizcha, at the time of anger, Anshina Naaseh. At those times, Klal Yisrael is punished even to the Mitzvah Aseh. Even in this world. Meaning that, of course, in the next world, the person will come up and say, okay, you didn't sit in the sukkah, you didn't put on your neb mezuzah, you didn't put on tefillin, you didn't put on tzitzit. So he'll say, well, they're all mitzvahs I say. There's no punishment if they're mitzvahs I say. So that is only true in this world. In the next world, the person is obligated, they would be, because you're obligated to keep all the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs you have to do all. But even in this world, the Maal said to him, you should just know that even though the Torah does not mention anywhere, with any of the mitzvahs I say, with two exceptions, with the exception of Brit Mila and Karim Pesach, other than that, there is no mention anywhere in the Torah that a person who does not fulfill a mitzvah gets punished in this world. But you should just know that I can tell you that when God is angry, the Klal Yisrael gets punished for these things too. That these things, the Eden Rizqa Shina Naseh. This is what the Maal told. Okay, now apparently it seems from the Mepharshim that this was something which had previously not been public knowledge, that this was a breakthrough, this was a new piece of information, that this is why the story involved the Maal, because someone had to have the inside scoop, so to speak, right, from behind the scenes. I could tell you, I'm in the Oval Office, and I could tell you that this is what goes on. So, the Gemara continues and says that, the Gemara, if you skip down a few lines, the Gemara tries to determine from this what exactly the chiyuv of tzitzis is, and basically, there's one last quote from the Gemara. The Gemara says about three, four lines later, Alahati Kamerle, the last line out here that's on the sheet, Tatsiki Lamifter Nafshachom Yitzitzis, that what the Malach was telling him was that Tatsiki means you're looking for excuses. You're looking for excuses not to put on the mitzvah of tzitzis. If you're looking for excuses not to put on the mitzvah of tzitzis, not to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, you should just know that God doesn't like that. And when Hashem gets angry, you're going to get punished for this also, even Ba'am has said. This is the Gemara.
The loophole.
What's that?
The loophole.
Right. In other words, you're looking for loophole. You're looking for a loophole. You're looking for a loophole. God doesn't like that. God doesn't like it. You're looking for, I gave you a mitzvah. You're looking for loopholes. Right? No pun intended. Right, you're looking for this sheer is dangerous. This is a lot of material. Right. So I'll try to behave. Right. So the fact is that you should just know that in these situations, you're looking for excuses to get out of mitzvah, not accepted. Now the question presents itself. So here we have a breakthrough. Here we have a breakthrough, a new piece of knowledge that came to the world, that the Maal shared with Rav Katina of Kiddush, that you don't find in the Torah. You don't find in the Torah such a thing. Right? The Torah is very clear. If a person does a mitzvah, lo says that he gets punished, the Olam HaZeh, that doesn't punish the person. If you go, that if the person does not fulfill a mitzvah, say, we don't find it. The person didn't hear the Shavuot or Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say anywhere. That person would never be given Malkus. That person would never be taken to Beis Din and punished in any way. Right? That's the way it is. So the Maal said to him, yeah, that's true, but if even in this world, you can still be punished for this, the Eden Rizqah. And therefore, in effect, what the Maal was telling him was that I don't advise you to continue this practice. In other words, if you put it into the context of the discussion, Rav Katina said, what do you want from me? I'm not wearing garments that have four corners, so what do you want? I'm not doing the Mitzvah Tzitzis. I'm not obligated to do the Mitzvah Tzitzis. To which the Maal said to him, Not a good idea. I'm just telling you that you can get away with it most of the time, but you will not get away with it all the time, and therefore you should do it. Now, this Gemara generated a great deal of controversy. First of all, in itself, it's a big breakthrough, and there are several questions that come up in this Gemara. First of all, is this true about all mitzvahs I say? Is it just by the mitzvah of tzitzis? That's one question which comes up. the generally held opinion is that this is true, that the Malach was telling him this is true by all the mitzvahs that say. Okay, but that's, when you read the Gemara, it's not 100% clear. But what's of more direct importance to us, which requires clarification, is we still need to know, we're still missing information. Because what the Malach said to him was, God doesn't like it. You're looking for excuses to get away from the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the question is, what does it mean I'm looking for excuses? So there's two ways you could understand it. If Rav Katina owned four-cornered garments, just that he wasn't wearing them, so then you could understand the Gemara a certain way, that the Gemara would be saying that the Malach was telling him, listen, I know very well that in your closet, right, you have four-cornered things, but they went out of style or whatever, you don't like them anymore, not comfortable, so you choose to wear this, these summer robes or the winter whatever, and therefore you with the excuse that I need to be comfortable, but I know very well that in your closet you have four-cornered garments, you're looking for excuse, you could fulfill the mitzvah since you have them, I know you have them, so you're not wearing them, you're doing the wrong thing. That's one way to understand the Gemara. The other way to understand the Gemara, which, now that, if that was in fact the case, then we'd be in good shape, right? Because then we could say, okay, none of us have any of those things, right? And therefore, the Gemara is inconsequential. The Gemara has no relevance to us because even the Musar that he was given was being given because of his specific situation. However, one could interpret the Gemara with Chumrah. You could take a more strict or severe interpretation and say that what he was telling him was, what's your excuse? You don't have four-cornered garments? Go buy one. Go buy one. Go to a tailor. You say, well, they don't have them in the store. So, go to a tailor, bring the material, tell them, make me a four-cornered garment. So which one is it? Now, if it's this second interpretation, now the Gemara is vague, but if it's this, which often is the case, if it's this second interpretation, then this would be relevant to us. So on this point, there is a machlokas in Rishonim. We find here on the very bottom of page 1, you have the opinion of Tosfos right here on the page, that Tosfos says that when Rav Katina said to the Malach, what are you bothering me for? This is a mitzvah saseh. So the Tosfos says that you should just know she'ein adam chayev liknos talos hamachuyev in enlo. That what Rav Katina was saying was that you know, we had a question before. What do you mean, Rav Katina's making it sound like there's no reason to fulfill mitzvahs at stake because there's no punishment? So Tosfos says what he meant to say was, I don't have any, and because I don't have any, I shouldn't be part. Then there could be no criticism of me because I don't have any. Right, so Tosfos says, I will say gomer, but in other words, you're not obligated to go buy one if you don't have it. But if it was an asay gomer, a few bezna shalomato, how you makin also hachachete nafsho. Tosfos quoting the Gemara elsewhere says that you should just know that even in the Olam Hazeh, it's not really true that they don't punish a person for not doing a mitzvah asay, because yes, they don't. There's no punishment for not doing a mitzvah asay, but the Gemara tells us that if Beis Din was aware of the fact that a person was not fulfilling the mitzvah that was incumbent upon him to fulfill, that they could force him, they could use coercion that a person should do a mitzvah. In other words, if a person was not, let's say, shaking a lulav, and they got wind of it, that he refuses to shake a lulav on Sukkot, so Beis Din would force him to do it, not as a punishment, but they would force him, they would use coercion to get people to do mitzvahs. So says Tosfos that therefore Rav Katina could not have meant that, and rather what Rav Katina meant was that look, I don't have one. I don't have one. So what do you want from me? If I had it, but I don't have it. So if I don't have it, the obligation of Torah is only to have a four-cornered garment. I don't have a four-cornered garment. So leave me alone. Now, if this is the way Tosfos is interpreting the Gemara, so then it would come out that was Rav Katina's defense. But what was the Malach's response? The Malach said to him, but even so, at the even risk of time that God gets angry, you're going to get it for this. So that would mean, according to Tosfos on the page, Tosfos would be taking the strict opinion that it would seem, in other words, Tosfos is telling us this is what Rav Katina proposed, this is what he put forth in his self-defense. But the Malach did not accept that. The Malach said back to him, I'm sorry, it's not going to help you, because there's going to be a time that you'll be punished for this. So therefore, it would seem, according to this interpretation, that in fact, a person is obligated, the maskan of the Gemara, the inclusion of the Gemara is, that even if you don't have one, you have to go get one. Why? Not because it's a chiyuv in the sense that you must always wear tzitzis. The Torah is not directly telling you this in the sense that you must do it, but God will get angry if you don't do it. Now, why that should be, we'll see in a minute. But this is Tosfos' interpretation of the Gemara here on the page. If we turn over here, so there is another place where a similar concept is discussed, and that is here, the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, page 2. The Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, also a very remarkable Gemara, and the and Tosfos here, which we'll see in a moment, has a different spin on the Gemara. So we have here, just bear with me, the Gemara says on the top line, the Gemara in Pesachim, towards the end of the Masechta, says, Shiva Menudim L'Shamayim. The Gemara whistles off, there are seven people that are Menudim L'Shamayim, means that they're not in good standing with God. Okay, that they're in some sort of state of like Cherim, you know, some sort of, not too strong of a word, but some sort of excommunication, that their relationship with God is not the greatest. Who are these seven people? So the Gemara says, Eluhain, Yehudi Shein Loisha, Jews not married, right? You should always try, meaning all these cases that we're about to say means that the person doesn't care. In other words, he's not trying. If the person is trying and it doesn't work out, then any person about to be mentioned is off. That's the way all the Rishonim say. But the Gemara is talking about a person who doesn't even try. So marriage is something which is encouraged. Right, the Torah speaks very strongly about marriage for many reasons, and therefore a person who is not in shame, Loisha, is not in good standing with Hashem. Mishiyesh Loisha, the Lobanim, the second one would be a person who is married but has no interest in having children. That would also be, again, this is not something that's up to a person, people with the Mitziyat of the Shnaya for this, but the fact is that if a person doesn't try, not interested, right, so that would be someone who God is not happy with. The third one is Umishiesh Lo Bonin Ve'enam Megadim L'Talmud Torah, a person who has sons and does not send them to yeshiva, does not bring them to the point that they could study the Torah correctly. And the Gemara says further, Umishiesh Lo Tfilin Verosho, a person who doesn't put on tefillin, a tefillin bizarro, Bizroel, a person who doesn't put tefillin on his head and his arm, Bitzitzis Bedigdo, a person who does not have tzitzis on his clothing, umezuzah, the pisco, etc. Okay, so there's a listing of people, mitzvahs, that if a person doesn't do these mitzvahs, he's not in good standing with Hashem. So, Tosfos comes here, and so one of the people mentioned that not in good standing with God is a person who doesn't have tzitzis on his head. So again, the question comes up, but wait a second, why, you know, the other things, that children is a chiyuv, Talmud Torah is a chiyuv, right? But tzitzis is only a chiyuv if you have a four-cornered garment, right? So what does the Gemara mean by this? Does the Gemara mean only a person with a four-cornered garment doesn't put it on? Maybe that's what the Gemara means. So comes here Tosfos, and Tosfos says, first of all, just in interest of saving time, just to paraphrase, Tosfos starts off saying that when we say all these people are not in good standing with God, that means dafgali de pshiyoso, this is only from negligence, shayna misasik, the period of Arabia, in other words, only a person who's not trying. A person who's trying and doesn't succeed in any of these areas, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. That person is fine with God, he tried, so what could you do? That's just the way it is. But we're talking here that ali de pshiyoso. So then, Tosfos says, similarly, when we say that just like when one of the people listed was the person has no child, right? So the person has no child, it's not up to him. It's not up to them. You can't control that. So says Tosfos, that means that it's only because he did not try to have a child. Well, if that's true, so then what about when it comes to tzitzis? That means everyone on this list is only on the bad list. You're only blacklisted if you didn't try. So what about tzitzis? Says Tosfos, Umisha Englo Tfilin Verosho Vizroo Vitzitzis Bedigdo Mairi Vishyeshlo Ve'ena Manichan. To keep it consistent, if we are going to say that the blacklist includes only people who negligently disregard the mitzvah, meaning that they could do it and they don't try, so then it would come out that when we list the person who doesn't have tzitzis, That would also mean a person who has it and could do it but doesn't try. Meaning a person who has a four-cornered garment and doesn't put tzitzis on it, or perhaps doesn't wear it. But that would be the type of person. However, it seems clear, according to this interpretation of Tosfos, it would seem clear that if a person did not have a four-cornered garment, so then that wouldn't get you on the blacklist. So you say, well, I don't have tzitzis. I don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Fine. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's not due to negligence. Why? I don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis because I don't have the opportunity. I don't have it. Give me a garment with four corners.
What about to try to buy one?
Good kasha, but it seems from Tosfos that itself is not enough of a problem. In other words, you're right. Theoretically, one could say, well, why don't you go get one? But Tosfos is clear in his first interpretation of the Gemara that Tosfos says that's not counted. It only includes the person who has a four-cornered garment and doesn't put it on. That's the first shot of Tosfos. Okay? It happens to be that this interpretation of Tosfos is also found in the Mordechai, one of the later Rishonim, whose halachic rulings are quoted in the back of the Gemara. So the Mordechai says here in the Sefer Menachos, not on the sheet, but the Mordechai says that you should just know that what the Malach told Rav Katina, the Malach who gave him Musar, you should just know that only because in those days people had four-cornered garments, it was common, and perhaps Rav Katina himself had one hanging in his closet, and that is where he got the criticism, because you could easily do it. You could easily do it. Go, put on your four-cornered garment, or maybe even if you don't have one, but if it's in all the stores, so go get one. But by us, you can't go into Macy's and get a four-cornered garment. You don't go to Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's. You go into any four-cornered garments. They don't have the men, as far as I know. They don't have the styles constantly change. But to the best of my knowledge, you could not get a four-cornered garment. So the only way you're going to get one is if you have it custom-made. Right, which is what we have, right, custom made. So if that's the case, so says the Mordechai, in keeping with this shot of Tosfos, that no problem. If you don't have it, no problem. No problem, that's not what the Malach meant. The Malach did not mean that. That's not the guy who's going to get on God's bad list. It doesn't mean that. It's only if you could have easily done it, meaning that you had it, or you could easily have gotten it, And you didn't put it on, that's when you're in bad shape. But other than that, no problem. This is the first shot in Tosfos, which would be contrary to the Tosfos that we saw in Maseches Menachos. Now, Tosfos then continues and says, Inami, Tosfos says, however, a second interpretation of the Gemara is, Afilu Einlo, that even if a person does not, another way we can interpret this Gemara is that when we say a person without tzitzis is not in good, the good graces of God, that even if he does not own a four-cornered garment, yesh lachzor ulahavi atzmo idechir, he is obligated to go ahead and find a way to obligate himself to do that. This is the second interpretation of Tosfos. In other words, the two Gemara, the Malach's rebuke to Rav Katina, that God's going to get you when the time of anger, there's no guarantee at a time of anger you're going to be punished for this. And what the Gemara says over here, that a person who doesn't have tzitzis for bigdo is not in good graces with Hashem, you should just know, says Tosfos, in the second interpretation of the Gemara, says Tosfos, that is true even if you don't have one, you have to go get one. Now why should that be? You'll ask, well, why should that be? You know, I don't have it, no obligation to put on tzitzis every day like there is by stone, why should that be? So Tosfos says that we have a basis for this kida ashtachon, like we have in the Gemara in Maseches Sota. If you turn over to page 3, the Gemara tells us a very, very fundamental Gemara that we find at the end of the first parak of Sota. The Gemara says on the top line, Darash Rav Simloi. The Gemara says Rav Simloi said, "Mitneiman esava Moshe Rabbeinu likonis l'Eretz Yisrael." The Gemara asks, why was it, we find in the Torah coming up in a few weeks, that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with God over and over and over again to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? Right after the story of the main Meriva, Moshe lost his ability to go into Eretz Yisrael, but he pleaded and prayed all kinds of things. So the Gemara says, why? Why was he so desperate? Why was he so desiring to go into Eretz Yisrael? Is that because he wanted to partake from the special minim, the Shivas HaMinim? He's going to go get himself a really nice pomegranate, and I know Eretz Yisrael, that's one of the seven species. I can't wait to go into Eretz Yisrael to have myself a nice pomegranate, some good olives. Is that the reason why he wanted to go? Says the Gemara, El Akaf Amar Moshe. Moshe said the following: Harbe mitzvahs nitzavu Yisrael. There are many mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael has been commanded, Dein miskaimen el be'eretz Yisrael, that can only be fulfilled in the land of Israel. And therefore, akones ani lo aretz, kidei sheyiskaimu kulan al yadav. Okay? So Moshe said that's why I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe wanted to go, we find that he prayed hundreds of tefillos and all kinds of things. You read the Torah at the beginning of Parshas Vayechanan, all his pleas and prayers, that his interest was not because he wanted to have the fruit, not because he wanted to get a good picture by the Kolsa Maravi, but because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said there are mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah, mitzvah of Truma, Meiser, all kinds of things, mitzvahs of Tzvuyas Baaretz, the mitzvahs of Beit HaMikdash. You can only fulfill these things in Eretz Yisrael, nowhere else you can do them. I want these mitzvahs. I want to be able to fulfill these mitzvahs. That was the reason that he was pleading with God to be allowed in. So the Gemara concludes by saying, Amo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kuma Kamevake Shalakab Otskar, if your whole interest is to fulfill these mitzvahs, Ma'al Ani Alach HaKiyu HaSisem, I will consider as if you did it. It's not your fault. The fact that I have reasons I'm not letting you in, but you won't lose by not going into Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gemara. Says Tosfos that what do you see from this Gemara? It's a very nice agadah. What relevance does this have? So Tosfos says that this attitude of Moshe Rabbeinu is recorded for all the generations, that a person should learn from this. That a person should say, I want to be able to do the mitzvahs. You shouldn't say, well, okay, so I don't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, big deal. A person should try to do the mitzvahs. And if there's a mitzvah that does not come my way easily, a person should still, nevertheless, try to do it, if it's possible. If it's possible, right, a person should try to do it. There are certainly, we find by people, you know, who are very meticulous in mitzvahs, that they try, even the obscure mitzvahs that do not easily come a person's way, but they try to go into a situation, put themselves in situations to try to fulfill mitzvahs. This is based on the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. So says Tosfos, if that's true, so then it comes out that attitude is something we're supposed to emulate. So for a person to say, well, I don't have any four-corner garments, so what? Moshe didn't have an entry into Eretz Yisrael either. But that didn't stop him from doing everything, literally attempting to move heaven and earth to try to get into Eretz Yisrael. So that's what we're supposed to do too. That's not just a nice story. That's something that's relevant. That's an attitude that a Jew is supposed to have. Says Tosfos, if that's the case, then a person is then whatever criticisms the Gemara says, what the Malach told Rav Katina and the blacklist or a person who does not have a four-cornered garment, doesn't put tzitzis on his dagger, would apply even for a person who doesn't go out of his way to get one. This is the machlokas in the Rishonim and what the correct interpretation of the Gemara is. And as I say, obviously this machlokas has great relevance to us, because we live in a world where there are no four-cornered garments, and by us, we have to go out of our way to get one. And now the question is, so can a person say, okay, so why should I buy one? Why should I go get a palace? Why should I get a palace for? Right, you could be, a little secret, you know, you could fulfill the tefillah of chakras even if you're not wearing a palace. Right? It's not like if you don't wear a palace, it's not considered that you daven chakras. Our custom is that we wear a palace when we daven chakras. But you don't need to. So a person says, it's an expense. I should go out and get a talis, cost money. I go to a talis cotton, which we wear, the minhag of wearing a talis cotton, which goes back already a long way, that we go out of our way to put on a talis cotton. Certainly, there are plenty of excuses that a person could have. It's not comfortable here in Miami, especially now in the summer. It's hot. I don't want to wear a talis cotton. It's just another layer of clothing, right? And it's a nuisance. Why should I do it, right? And you say, well, it's a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah if you have four corners. I don't have four corners, so why should I go get one? So according to one school of thought, a person would have the right to say that. A person would have the theoretical right to say, I don't like wearing tzitzis. Especially, okay, if I davening, so I'll cut it out. I'll put on a talis. Right? The most Ashkenazim have the minute. Only a married man wears a talis. It's unclear why that is. But that is Ashkenazic practice. It's fine. Even a boy over bar mitzvah puts on a talis. But the fact is that okay, so that I'll do. That I could hack already. You know, I've got a shul. I've got myself a nice talis. But I'm going to go around during the day with a talis button. Who needs it? So according to one school of thought, a person would have the right to say that. Because I'm not doing anything wrong. According to the other school of thought, however, it would be wrong for a person to do that because of the fact that, so good, you don't have four-cornered garments. So go get one. It's a mitzvah. It's an easy mitzvah to fulfill, right? I mean, relatively speaking, it's not like you have to go. Some of the mitzvahs, you know, to go do the shechita, for example. If a person wanted to do shechita, they'd have to learn, they'd have to be trained, and all kinds of things. But here, you just go, you pay a few dollars, you get a talis button, you put it on, you have it. So it's so easy to do. You should be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Learn from the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is a machlokas in the Rishonim, which is widespread. To cut to the chase, because we're running out of time here, in the Shulchan Aruch, the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch is as follows. It's on page 3, the bottom quote. The Shulchan Aruch says, "The main adam lo beish talis bas arba kantos." If a person is not wearing a garment that has four corners, ain't no ties to tzitzis. He does not have to, he has no obligation to tzitzis. Right? That we know. Right? The key of tzitzis is only a four-cornered garment. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'tov v'nacham, however, it is good and it is proper. Lios ko'odim zoyer wilvosh talus katan ko'ayon. However, it is good and it is proper." And we're going to focus on those words. It is correct and it is a good thing to do that a person should wear a talus cotton all day long. Now, if you think about it, you can make the very good case that you shouldn't have to wear tzitzis ever in our time, right? We, on the other hand, go to the other extreme and say, not only am I going to go wear tzitzis, but I'm going to wear tzitzis all day long. I'm going to go, right, the minute we put on talus cotton, right, the person leaves it on, so you have it, so we went to the opposite extreme. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch, this is because the Shulchan Aruch says that the correct, proper thing to do is to wear a talis cotton all day. Why is this? Kidei sheyizkar ha-mitzvus b'chol rega. Says the Shulchan Aruch, because of the fact that, don't forget what the Torah said, there's a benefit to the mitzvah of tzitzis. There's a practical benefit. Tzitzis reminds you of the mitzvah. Tzitzis keeps the person focused. You're wearing a talis cotton, it's a little uncomfortable because it's hot outside. That may not be such a bad thing, because it may lead you to ask yourself the question, so why am I doing this? The reason why I'm doing this is because this is a special garment that I should be reminded that when I go out into the world, I answer to a higher calling, that I have responsibilities that are higher than just the mundane things in the world, and therefore that's a benefit of tzitzis. That's what a person's supposed to do. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that even though there is no chiyuv, we cannot say it's a chiyuv, but nevertheless, because you don't have four, if you have four corners, then it's an absolute chiyuv. Then a person, if he's wearing four corners, he must have this. Right? If it ever happens, you're wearing the talus cutting, you walk by and somebody's standing there heavy on cutting their hedges by the lawn and accidentally snipped off one of your tzitzis, right? So then you have to immediately take it off. Right, because of the fact that then you have a four-cornered thing without tzitzis. But again, the whole shear that we're discussing is where I don't have a four-cornered garment. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch says the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. So the Shulchan Aruch's reason is because of the fact that it has practical benefit. In the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on this halacha, which is not unfortunately on the sheet, the Vilna Gaon felt that the reason for this was because we hold the halacha like the second interpretation of Tosfos, which is that a person really is obligated to go out of his way to get the tzitzis, because if not, you'll get on God's blacklist, and if not, when it comes to even Rizqa, Hashem is gonna take it out on that person. Yes.
Why do you put the talis cotton on a vase?
No, that's something else. That's a different thing. I'm sorry. I just wanted to finish because I'm over the time. All right, and I don't know the answer. So the fact is that this is the halacha the way we have it. Now again, this leaves us still a little bit hanging, because the Shulchan Aruch's expression is that is no chiyuv, but it's cold enough, and it's a good and a nice thing to do. So if it's a good and a nice thing to do, so alright, so here I am, it's hot outside, you know, and it's a nice thing to do, but what, you know, it's very hot, and it's uncomfortable, it's another layer, I'm not interested, you know, it's annoying, it, you know, it could get sticky or whatever, who knows what, but I'm not interested. So how does it translate to us today? In other words, can a person say, in other words, clearly the Shulchan Aruch's recommendation is a person should wear a talis gadol. In other words, realize that not only should a person wear a talis gadol, now a talis gadol is better than a talis gadol because of the fact that a talis that we wear by davening has the ability that a person can wrap himself up in, which is really the primary fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, is that the person should be able to do itur. We said the bracha lehisatei for tzitzis, to wrap himself in the tzitzis. A talis gadol he can wrap himself in. A talis gadol you can't wrap yourself in because it's the way it's made. And the truth is, it would be an interesting thing if anyone did a historical study of the evolution of the talis gadol in Jewish history. You will see that there were all kinds of shapes and sizes and different ways that people wore talis gadol over the years. But certainly, in all times, in our time, the talis gadol you cannot completely wrap yourself in, right? But nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch says that even so, but it covers you, and the Torah says, Asher Techaseba, that's the main thing, that should be able to cover you, and therefore we wear the talis gadol. So we go and wear a talis gadol the whole day, right? Which is really when the case could be made, you shouldn't have to wear a talis gadol at all, you shouldn't wear a talis gadol at all. Right, because we don't have it. Nevertheless, we go out of our way to do it. But the reason that the soul, the foundation of the halacha, is worded that it's tov v'nachon, it's a good thing to do, it's a nice thing to do. So let's say I say, okay, I agree, it's the right thing to do, but you know, I'm sorry, it's too hard for me. What's the right thing? So in the modern day poskim, so we find this is discussed at great length today, especially in the world of convenience where everybody's interested in comfort, and clothing designers go out of their way to try to make things with the maximum, the convenience and comfort that a person should feel. So many people have challenged this, you know, so why should I wear the kisses? You know, then you have other situations where a person says, I'm engaged in activity where even if I'll agree to wear a talis gadol during the day, you know, in a regular situation, but, you know, maybe in certain scenarios it's even harder. I'll go play ball or go for the run in the marathon, go jogging, whatever it is. Right, well, here, clearly a more difficult inconvenience to go ahead and wear the scissors. So what do we say to that? So we find here, I'll try to end very quickly, is that Tzitz Eliezer, one of the modern-day poskim, Rav Oldenburg, passed away just a couple of years ago, on the great poskim in Yerushalayim. So he quotes from one of the earlier Achronim, Ma'ari Al-Ghazi. Ma'ari Al-Ghazi was a Sephardic rabbi, I believe lived in the 17th or 18th century. And in the Ma'ari Al-Ghazi, he said that he read the Riot Act to the people in this generation for three things. He said that I walk around in the summertime and I see people doing three things that are really wrong. And I have to tell you, what are the three things? He said the first thing is that they're standing and davening in shul and they're holding handheld fans before they had central air conditioning, and they're fanning themselves as they're davening. So he said, you say, what's wrong with that? He said, well, if the approach to davening is that you're talking to God, he said, so if you were talking to the Sultan or you were talking to the king, would you be sitting? Do we ever find that a person would go to the king holding a handheld fan, and it would be considered disrespectful? So he said, I'm not happy about that. That practice should stop. That's number one. Then he said, practice number two that I'm not happy with is that I see that there are people who go outside when it's hot and they don't wear yarmulkes. They don't cover their heads because they say it's not, you know, it's hot to wear a yarmulke. It'd be much cooler if I could go without any head covering. That's number two. And number three, Alma Sharot Sas Anoshim Shemirov HaChom, that due to the great heat, they take off the talis gadol and they say that it's too hot for me to wear the talis gadol. Too hot. So the Ma'ari Al-Ghazi said that in my community, wherever that was, I see these three practices that take place during the summer, and I want you to know it's wrong. It's wrong. Should not be done. Right? Now, again, you could say back to him, well, why is it wrong? You know, the Shulchan Aruch itself said that it's the right thing to do. So you gave me, pretty much you left it up to me. But nevertheless, he said that it's the wrong thing to do. Closer to our time, in our time, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in several tshuvas that we find in the Igros Moshe, but one in particular, which is in the fourth chelot of Aruch Chaim in the Dalet, that he says as follows. He says that even though it is true that a person can say that based on the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch, I don't have to wear a talis cotton if I don't feel like it, even a talis gadol, theoretically, if according to what the Shulchan Aruch said, he says, Mikol makom, kivan shenagu kol Yisrael lilbos deged ha-machayev tzitzis. Says Rav Moshe, but we have to look at what is done in practice. In practice, the minhag Yisrael has been for hundreds and hundreds of years that people go out of their way to wear a talis cotton. This is not a new innovation. And it's not something that just came about in the last couple of years in America. This is something that goes back a long, long way. And therefore, since it is the minhag to do this, Osur l'shum adam laver al zeh. So Rav Moshe says that it's forbidden for a person to violate this. Why? The logara mikol minhag, af shelecha b'ugam kiyum mitzvah. Because he says it's like any widely accepted minhag, which we've mentioned numerous times. A widely accepted minhag. There are all kinds of minhagim. Right? There are all kinds of minhagim. You go to shul, people tell you there's simchas, you see people, all kinds of minhagim. Right, the people go to a wedding, the talis takes off the jewelry, all kinds of things, right? By the chuppah, where does that come from? Right, these are minhagim, but those minhagim are not necessarily widespread. Right, they're different people. You go to people's Pesach seder, you'll see that this one has this minute, this one has that minute. That's a particular minute. But there are certain practices that are widespread. It's widespread. And we have in halacha the approach that a minhag that is accepted in Klal Yisrael, that's widespread practice, that takes on the status of a chiyuv. That even though it is not mandated by the Gemara, it's not mandated by the Torah, but nevertheless, it's a minhag Yisrael, and minhag Yisrael halacha. It becomes a halacha to do. And therefore, Moshe says, so you say, what is the basis for this? The basis for this is the well-known pasuk that we have in Mishlei, Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al kitosh Torah zimecha. Al kitosh Torah zimecha means literally do not forsake the Torah of your mother. What is that supposed to mean? So the Chazal interpret this pasuk that the Torah of your mother means the Torah of your father means the Torah that's found in the Torah. In other words, that's the Torah that we can't find in the Torah of Iksav, the Torah of Al-Peh. But the Torah Zimecha is a metaphor for the mother's Torah, means the practices, just like I guess you could say, just like a mother in the concern for the well-being of a child will do things that's not absolutely want or mandate. In other words, you don't have to do this, but the mother cares so much about the child, so the mother goes ahead and makes sure that the child takes extra precautions. That's my own shot. That says that, but that's our thing, right? That so too, that's why a minhag is referred to as Torah Zimecha. In other words, it became in the Klal Yisrael. We have minhagim. We don't just have minhagim, random things that we do that don't make sense. Even if it doesn't make sense to us today, but we go with the attitude that the people who started this were on the high madrega. They knew what they were doing, and they felt this is in everyone's best interest, and therefore al kitosh Torah Zimecha. So therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein said that therefore it really is an obligation. So even though the Shulchan Aruch says Tov v'Nachum that it's a good thing to do, which leaves it open for interpretation. It's a good thing to do, but it's not good for me. So therefore, I don't feel like doing it. And I appreciate your advice, Shulchan Aruch. But with all due respect, you didn't live in Miami, right? And therefore, it's boiling hot here. It's too difficult. They didn't have jogging your time in the streets. People relegated their exercise to other things. Right, so therefore I'm not going to wear the tzitzis when I go jogging. Nevertheless, I'll see Tosh Tarasim Mechel. So, therefore, in conclusion, it comes out that the tzitzis in our time, the argument that people make, which is that, well, we don't have four corner garments, not a real chiv, that is true. That is absolutely true. It's not a four corner, we don't have four corner garments, according to some Rishonim. If the only way to get it is to go have one custom made or to buy it, you would not be obligated to do it, and that wouldn't even put you in bad way with God. Even in any situation, that would all be good. However, others say not so. The Shulchan Aruch apparently feels like the other opinion, that it's the right thing to do to go get one, even if you don't have one. However, even from the Shulchan Aruch, it would not come out of chiyuv. And therefore a person could say, which is common attitude that we have today, which is that, you know, okay, even if I'll do what the Shulchan Aruch says, but I'm already a big tzaddik, to put on a talis katan makes me a very big tzaddik, because the Shulchan Aruch, there's really no obligation to do it ever, and I'm going to go ahead and do it constantly. So I'm already a big tzaddik. So if I'm already a big tzaddik, so then maybe at certain times I could just say, well, you know, today is too hot, so I'll be a big, yesterday I was a big tzaddik, tomorrow I'll be a big tzaddik, but today I'm not going to be a big tzaddik. So to that, we have the ruling of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and it's really the consensus of all the poskim, that say that, but mitzad haminog, the minog Yisrael has been that we do it, and we do it all the time. And therefore, this is the accepted practice that, you know, getting back to the Gemara said, tatsiki, that we're looking for ways to get out of it. A person shouldn't look for ways to get out of it. So therefore, this is the chashivas of the mitzvah of tzitzis, right? There's a well-known story that they circulate that the Dulna Gong on his deathbed began to cry, and they asked him, what is it that's bothering you at this moment? So he took a talis katan in his hand, and he said, you see, he said, in this world, one can fulfill mitzvahs for just a few dollars, or whatever it was in Lithuania. For just a few dollars, you could fulfill a mitzvah. Now I'm leaving this world to go to the next world, and maybe a better place, but you can't fulfill mitzvahs in the next world. That's it. It's too late. The time to do Hayom HaSosam, today, in this world, is the time to do mitzvahs. And I'm losing that opportunity. It's so easy in this world to fulfill a mitzvah. Just a few dollars, you get yourself a talis katan, you put it on. It's such an easy thing to do. Maybe by us here in Miami, it's not always the easiest thing to do. Maybe in the modern style of dress and the modern modes of exercise, it's not always the easiest thing to do. But the fact is, a minhag Yisrael to do it, and a person should really try to do it to the best of their ability. If it was a case of really great need where a person couldn't do it, you couldn't say that one, you know, what would Rav Moshe Feinstein have said to a person who's going jogging and says that the thing, if I put on a talis katan, it's going to fly up in my face, you know, I won't be able to do it. So I don't know, but I you know, it's hard to say. It likely he would have said, try to find a way to maybe put a little the tie or something that it shouldn't go flying into your face. Try to find a way to do it, because I'll teach the Sarsi method. This is the way of the Bal Yisrael. This is the Minhag Yisrael, even if it's not a fear, but it's the Minhag for all the generations. And therefore, this is something that we try to do very much. We put on a talis katan, a talis gadol by davening, even though we don't have to. And we put on a talis katan during the day, and even at night, if we're still dressed, the person should leave it on. And that is a different discussion. But the fact is that this is the practice in halacha, and this is really the correct thing to do.